Morning. Today's daf in Pesachim, daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We are in the middle of a serious diversion of the Gemara. The Gemara takes us away from the topic of Pesach and the Lil Seder, and we're in the middle of the 10th parak, but for the last 4 days now, we've been discussing issues of Zugos, Shadim, and Ruach Ra, and Kishuf, and definitely things that are not within my wheelhouse. I don't know what it is, but they're definitely not my wheelhouse. But we have spent the last number of days trying to understand and get our heads wrapped around some of these concepts. Yesterday in the Gemara took off another detour and taught us life lessons. Lessons that were imparted from father to son, from Rebbe to Talmud. Such as Rebbe Akiva, Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. And so we've been now discussing a long list of various life lessons that the Tanaim gave their students and their children. And for the rest of today, that is exactly what we're going to be discussing. We're going to be discussing more of this. Those both from the standpoint of the Tanaim and from the standpoints of the Amoraim. So we are on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis right now. We are in the middle of the Amud. We're at the last short line of the Amud. Amar Rav Papa. Based on Yispe Shunar Loneilba Inish Below Masne. So Rav Papa says that if you have a house that has a cat, right now we're talking about a house that has a cat. So if you have a house that has a cat, so Loneilba Inish, a person shouldn't go into the house below Misn without shoes. My taima. Bishum to Shumra Katol Lechiv. You have Achole. So the Gemara explains because what's going to happen is that your cats are going to be eating the snakes. That's what your cats do. And those snakes, the cat will be eating the snakes, but there's still going to be some sort of, it could be it's reference to scales or maybe some leftover parts of the snake. And if you step on what the Gemara describes as a bone of the snake, I know a snake doesn't have bones, but whatever part of the snake it's describing, and if you step on it, so it'll be dangerous to you. So in other words, when there is a cat in the house, so there are going to be snake remnants, and as a result of that, that's going to be dangerous. Behakara. The Gemara offers another way to understand this, and that is just the opposite. That if the house doesn't have cats in it, so then you got to be worried, because then no one's there to eat the snakes. Snakes are going to be lurking, and so you shouldn't be walking in the house behakara. Hakara explains the Rashba means in the dark, meaning because there are snakes there. My time adilma machrich bechivya. Because it's very possible that there's going to be a snake over there, and you'll step on it, and it'll bite you, and you'll have a sakana. Okay, if you follow both versions, so you're lost and you're lost. Meaning, at this point in time, it's with or without a cat in your house. You still need to walk around either with shoes or while it's light. Gimel Dvarim Tziva Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi es Rebbe. Three things that were instructed from Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi to Rebbe, and they are as follows. Number one, Atas mum ba'atzmecha. Don't make a blemish upon yourself. What does that mean? So Gemara explains. Mahi lo tehavlach dina b'hadetalsa. When you go into litigation, so don't go in litigation against three people. That's a big mistake. Meaning that they're co-defending, and there are three of them. Really big mistake. Because what's going to then end up happening is that they have manpower and they can conspire against you. So those three co-defendants, one of them can end up becoming a defendant, and the other two, okay, now they're not going to be telling the truth, but they'll testify against you, and so therefore if you litigate against three, you're going to really be in a compromised situation. Number two, don't shop when you don't have money. Right, there's a concept called Ganeva's Das, when you're stealing somebody's mind, when you are misleading people, and if you go into the shop and you are looking around but you don't have money, so the Gemara says don't do that. That's also not right. When the wife goes to the mikvah, so don't have relations with her that first night. Now that's hard to understand because, as we all know, there's a mitzvah on Lel Tvila. So the Gemara goes on to explain. So Rav explains that we're not talking about what we do, we're talking about the din daraisa. The din daraisa is that a woman's a nida for 7 days. Regardless of whether she bleeds or she doesn't, obviously she needs to bleed on day one, otherwise we wouldn't be starting the zman nida. Okay, as a parenthetical note, that's not according to the Rambam, but neither here nor there. According to most Rishonim, the first day that she bleeds, that she's a nida, and she'll be nida for the next 7 days, regardless of whether she bleeds or not. So if you follow the Din Torah, so that would mean then that she'll bleed, let's say, 1, 2, 3, let's even say 4 days, but then she'll stop. And then after the seventh day, meaning on the night of the eighth day, she'll tell them the mikvah, she'll go back to her husband. That's the Din Daraisa. The Gemara Nida, you remember, just reminding us, Gemara Nida says, why is the meal on the eighth day? Which I know is funny, meaning because the Torah says so. But why does the Torah put the meal on the eighth day? So one of the answers of the Gemara over there was so that the husband and wife could be happy, meaning that she'll be going to the mikvah the night of the eighth day, right? The eve of the eighth day, and her husband can reunite after the milah. Anyway, that's the din daraisa. We don't follow the din daraisa. We have a din darabanan. Okay, neither here nor there. Not for now. But hove huchzak main pasuach duma mashcha ziva. So the Gemara explains, because I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is that if this particular woman was bleeding all 7 days of her Yemei Nida, so now the chances of her to continue to bleed had now increased. She has a greater chance of bleeding that evening. Now, min ha-Torah, she's not in Nida, and if she tells us in the mikvah, she'll be Tahora. But the Gemara says you basically can't ignore the reality that she's been bleeding for the past 7 days, and for the, you'll forgive the analogy, but for the faucet to just simply turn off, the Gemara says, very unlikely. Shoshet Varm Siva Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda's Rebbe. Three things that Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda instructed Rebbe. So Rebbe just got advice from Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rav Yosi. Now he's getting advice from Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. Number one, Atetzi Yechidah Balayla. Don't go out alone at night. Right? The problem of Mazik and Shadim, which we've now been discussing for the last 3 days, they are prevalent, they are around us everywhere, and so therefore you go at night, you make yourself vulnerable. Number two, Al Talmud Bifnei Haner Arum. Don't stand in front of a candle that while you are not clothed. Ve'al Tikanes L'merchatz Chadash. And don't go into a new bathhouse. Shema Tiftach. Problem is going to be that it may break, meaning structurally may not be sound, and you're going to go in and it's going to be dangerous. Ad kama. So in other words, at what point in time can you now say that it is structurally sound? I guess back then they didn't have code, they didn't have engineers. So how do you know now that the bathhouse was structurally sound? I'm Rav Yishuv Ben Levi, called Yud Beis Chodesh. I'm sorry, Ad Yud Beis Chodesh. 12 months. Okay, wait 12 months before walking into a new bathhouse. Al tamo b'fnei haner arum. The Gemara goes back to number two, which is don't stand naked in front of a candle. D'tanya hamid b'fnei haner arum have a nichpe. So the Gemara says you'll be sick. Nichpe usually is a reference to some form of epilepsy, but not to say that I really know. But the Gemara says it brings about a certain type of illness. And the Gemara says, and if you have relations while towards candlelight, so your children are going to have this kind of illness. They'll suffer from this illness. Right? Tznius demands that a husband and wife need to have no light. And the Gemara over here says that there will also be consequences for the children, for the babies if they do. Now these next Gemaras over here, I will explain. No, I will not explain. I will read, I will translate, and then as far as explanation is concerned, I don't have an explanation for these Gemaras. These Gemaras must be based on some sort of metaphysical forces, and so we'll look at them. They will seem strange to us, these next three or four lines of Gemara. Okay, but we'll try our best. Just to understand the words. Tana Rabbanan Mishamish Mitasu Amitah Shetinok Yashan Ala Oso Tinok Nichpe. If you have relations while there's a baby on the bed, and the baby's sleeping on the bed, so the child will suffer from kfiya, from this form of epilepsy. V'la marnele de lo havi bar shasa, v'havi bar shasa lefanba. The Gemara says, but that's only if he's under a year old. But if he's older a year old, so then there's no concern, then there's no worry. Intuitively, we would have gone the other way, or I would have gone the other way, meaning I would have said that as the child gets older, it's then more inappropriate. The Gemara here goes the other direction. The Gemara says as the child gets older, then there's less of a concern. Now again, it's not because, this is not a tznius issue, this is just a, I don't understand issue. Meaning these are these are based on things that are beyond me. And the Gemara says, and that's only if the baby is sleeping on the leg portion of the bed, where the legs are. But if they're on the upper portion of the bed, so then there's no concern. And another way to obviate the problem is by placing your hand on the baby. Once you place your hand on the baby, so then there's not going to be any issue. And that ends that portion of the Gemara. Now, don't go out alone at night. Now, I already explained this, but I only explained it because I knew this Gemara coming up. And that is, don't go out at night alone because you're going to be subject to the Mazikin. So, the Gemara explains, the danger is very simple. The danger is very simple. You have all the malachi chavala, angels of destruction. Angels of destruction, mazikin, seem to be the same genre. So the Gemara refers to a specific one, which is agras bas machla. So she is the daughter of machla. I told you yesterday, it's clear from the Gemara that there are genders amongst the underworld. So each one of them have the right to damage. Shmon Esrei Ribo, that's 18 times 10,000. Okay, that's a lot. So, Meikara Havashchichi Kula Yuma. Now, why is it Tuesday nights and Friday nights? Meaning, why are they out those nights? So the Gemara gives us now the background information, so we now know why they were limited to only two nights a week. So, Zimnachal Pagab Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, one time they met Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Anytime you see a story in the Gemara involving Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, It's a special story because he was a special human being. So Amra le ilav de machriz ale brakia he's there bechanina v'taraso sakantech. So she tells, meaning this is now the agras bas machlas. She tells Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, look, they told me up in Shemayim, don't touch you. Now had I not been given that warning, I would have harmed you. So Amar La Icha Shivna Berakia Gozer Ani Alecha Shalot Ta'avori B'Yishuv La'Olam. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa now is going to try to flex his muscle, pull his weight, and he says, "Look, if it's now up to me, which apparently it is, so I'm saying that you're banned from populated areas forever." So Amar Le. So she begs, "B'Matusa Minach, I beg of you, Shavu Li Ravcha Porta." Leave me a little bit, just a little opening. So Shavak Leila Shabbosos Valeila Revios. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa chooses Tuesday nights and Friday nights. So it's only left for us to guess, and I only have guesses why he left Tuesday night and Friday nights to be those nights where now the Mazikin can go out and can run rampant around the world. Why did Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa choose those nights? By the way, one other point which may be interesting. On Friday night, so what do we do after Maariv is over? So we add a couple tefillos in davening. Right? Unusual Maariv, so what happens? Shemona Esrei, then Aleinu, and then we all go home. On Friday night, we add more after the davening. We add Magen Avos and Vayichulu, and we add a bunch of paragraphs after davening. So why? So you can look down at the bottom of the Siddur. So they say because back then they used to daven out in the fields. And what would end up happening is that people would finish their davening and then they would have to walk back. If Maariv just ended with the Amidah, so then what would end up happening is that some people would be left behind. So on Friday night, they want nobody to be left behind. So therefore, they added paragraphs afterwards. It's brought down. That's the reason why paragraphs were added for after davening. From our Gemara over here, we could contribute our Gemara to that discussion, where our Gemara says that Friday night there's more of a danger of the Mazikin. I mean, Tuesday night as well, so I guess if you wanted to argue, then a paragraph should be added on Tuesday night as well. Okay, so she meets up with Abaye. Okay, Abaye is our resident... He has a lot of involvement with the Shadim. So this is now our second day in a row where we saw Abaye get involved with Shadim. So Amr Lay, so she says, So she says, you know, they told me not to bother you. Now it's interesting, Abai goes by two names. He goes by Abai and he goes by Nachmeni. So, Uvesara, so, Havistekantich. So he says, I would have damaged you. So, and I'm guessing, right, Abai is after Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, so just my guesswork would be that this was either a Tuesday or Friday night. So Amalei Yichashvina Berakia goes, Rani Alecha Shalot Tavor B'Yishuv La'olam. So the Gemara says, look, Abai says, if it's up to me, I tell you that you can't go in populated areas anymore. Now, the Gemara doesn't give us the dialogue that we had, which is, please, I beg of you. And he says, okay, we don't have that. So it sounds like from this Gemara now that's it. In other words, Shadim were banned from the world altogether. Now, the Gemara comments. This is the Gemara commenting. Ha-kachazina da-avra. Well, we see that they do go by, even after Abaye says they shouldn't go anymore. So it's clear from the perspective of the Gemara that it's obvious. It's obvious that the Gemara was big believers in all this. But even after Abaye, the Gemara says, you know, they're around, we see them. And the Gemara gives an interesting explanation, one that goes well beyond my understanding. The Gemara says, we're now on the top of Kuf Yud Gimel, Amud Aleph, Gaz Yasa Ninu, Dishamte Susia, Va'ase Dabre Lahu. The Rashbam explains what happens is that they're riding their horses. This is talking about the Mazikin, right? Those spirits. So what happens is that while they're riding on their horses, so what ends up happening is that their horses get away from them, and they have to go back into town in order to fetch their horses and walk their horses out of town. That's why we still see the Mazikin even till this day. I mean, this day meaning the Gemara. Okay. Again, an answer that goes well beyond my understanding. But that's how the Gemara ends that discussion. Okay, now we move on to the Amoraim. Okay, so if Kuf Yud Beis, which is yesterday's daf, which we just concluded. So if Kuf Yud Beis is advice given by the Tanayim, Kuf Yud Gimel, which is today's daf, is going to be advice given by the Amoraim. It just kind of worked out that way. It's, you know, the way their words end up on the page, it's not, they didn't plan it this way. So, but that's a good way to just have it in our mind, the difference between Kuf Yud Beis and Kuf Yud Gimel. So Amaluhu Rav Ravasi. So Rav now is going to impart wisdom to his students. So now he speaks to his student Ravasi. Lo tidor b'masa de lo sanif be'susia. You need horses in your town, and not only that, but you need horses neighing in your town. V'lonavach b'kalba, and you must have dogs barking in your town as well. Okay, so you have to have neighing horses and barking dogs. Why? The Gemara doesn't explain. The Rashbam does. So the Rashbam says because it's going to scare away any robbers. Okay, it's like a built-in security system that you have in your community. The dogs are going to bark if strangers come in, if any robbers come in. And as far as the horses are concerned, so they're going to neigh. And also, the horses would be an excellent way to chase them down. The Altad Tidor Be'ir Deresh Masa Asya. Okay, forgiveness amongst the medical professionals in this room. But the Gemara says is that don't live in a town where the head of the town is a doctor. Okay, a big mistake. Now, I know there's a lot of you here. So thank God. So anyway, so why? Why should that be? So the Rashbam says, "Rofei mimnei shetarer berefuaso ve'enu osik b'sar chit zibur," because they got two things pulling at them. They have their medicine, and then they're going to have the job of running a city. And so they can't do both, and the medicine's going to be tugging and pulling at them. And so therefore, something's going to give. So, not for a bad reason, but just simply because there's too much pulling at them at one time. Interesting, by the way, there's another read of the Gemara, right? The other read of the Gemara is, we have in our Gemara, and the Rashbam certainly had that read, because I just read the Rashbam, Altidu Be'ir Deresh Masa Asya, right? Don't live in a city where the head of the city is a doctor. That's the way we have in our Gemara. If you take a look at Tosfos and Baba Basra, on Daf Kuf Yud, okay, is that because I have an excellent memory? No. It's because Rabbi Kiva Eger right here on the Daf tells you to look at Tosfos and Baba Basra on Daf Kuf Yud. And Tosfos over there has a different reading of our Gemara, and that is, take out the Aleph from the word Asya. And what do you end up with? You end up with Asi. And that means, Al Tidor Be'ir Deresh Masa Asi. Don't live in a city who the leader of the city is Asi. Meaning, remember, what is this? This was advice given from Rav to Ravasi. So basically what Rav is saying to Ravasi is, if there's going to be a leader in a town, either you or anyone like you, don't live in that town. Now, I know that doesn't sound positive. It is a positive thing. Remember going back to yesterday's daf, what do we say? Don't live in a town where the heads of the town are Talmidei Chachamim. It's a big mistake. So why should that be? Because as we pointed out yesterday, because they are, they're two, again, same basic idea. They have the learning pulling at them, and then they have the responsibility of the town pulling on them. And it's just too much, and it's just not going to work out well. Meaning a leader of a community has to be someone who is free to take care of the affairs of the community. So that's another way to read the Gemara. So it has nothing to do with being a doctor. It has to do with being somebody like Asi. The Rashman, by the way, did not have that reading of the Gemara. V'lotansif tarte, the Gemara says, allow me please to give you another good piece of advice. This is again from Rav to Rav Asi. Don't marry two wives. It's a mistake. Now again, the Torah allows it, right? So we're in the middle now of Sefer Bereishis as far as the Torah goes, and with exception to Yitzchak Avinu, so everyone had multiple wives. That was common. So it's and the Torah allows it, and the only one who's capped from marrying from the number of wives they can have is the king. But other than that, though, you can marry as many wives as you want. Gemara says not recommended. But this Gemara is going to be interesting. Lo tinsif tarte, don't marry two wives. Inasafta tarte nasif tlas. Now, what if you did marry two wives? So what's the solution? The Gemara says it's obvious what the solution is going to be. We'll take on a third. So I thought, Danny, I thought exactly like you. I thought that the issue over here is an issue of zugos, that you have a pair and it's bad because of zugos. But that's not it. No, but I thought like that as well. So, but that's not it. It's not a zugos issue. Zugos issue, as we talked about, is food. It's okay, but this is not a zugos issue. What's the issue? So I go back to the Rashbam, and the Rashbam explains the issue is because when you have two, so they conspire. So two become a conspiring pair, and so therefore it's not you and your wife. It's you against your wives. So how does three help? So the Rashbam explains because what happens is that two will conspire, but three won't. Meaning, it's an odd number. So what you will have in your favor is you'll have an ally. So if two of them conspire, at least the third one is going to be in your right on your side. Amalei Rav LeRav Kahana. Okay, now we are continuing. We are now advice given from Rav to Rav Kahana. Hafoch b'niv lasav lo tepoch b'mili. Look, not every job is a fantastic job, but it's a job. And you can't downplay how important it is to work. And even if it means that you're going to be working with dead carcasses, meaning that's your job, better to do that than to, wait, hafoch b'niv lasa, flip over the nevela, meaning if that's your job, fine, rather than tepoch b'mili, rather than flipping your words. Meaning if your job requires you to lie, or if whatever you do to earn a living requires you to lie, so better to be involved in a what would be menial work of flipping over nevelas. So, or basically, as we could say in the modern, it's better to flip burgers than to have to lie. Pashid nevelasa b'shuka v'shakal igra v'lote makahana ane v'gavaraba ane. And don't ever say that work is beneath me. Right, in other words, even if you have to go to the marketplace, and now so you're going to be working a menial job, and you'll be doing so in a public area. The Gemara says it doesn't matter. Don't say I'm a Kohen. Don't say I'm a Gavaraba. I'm a great man. Visanya be milsa, and it's just in other words, I can't do that. That's beneath me. The Gemara says don't say that. This is Rav to Rav Kahana. Salakta leigra sharusa behadech. When you go up to the roof, make sure to have some food in your pockets. Right, every time we go to the park, so we bring snacks along. And my position has always been, what are you doing? We're going to the park, we're coming back. Snacks? The Gemara says, no, it's snacks. Bring your snacks. Excuse me. The Gemara says that even if you're going up to the rooftop, it's not a long trek. You're just going up to the roof. But make sure to have snacks along with you. Meir kari b'masa b'zuza, tuse k'nafech nehavu. Even if food is dirt cheap, in other words, you can buy 100 gourds in your town with one zuz, it doesn't matter. You should always have some food readily available. Okay, so bring along your snacks. Amalei Rav Lechia Bray. So we had Rav giving advice to Rav Asi, to Rav Kahana, and now he's giving advice to his son Chia. Lotish Te Sama, don't do drugs. And right, popularized, of course, by Nancy Reagan, but prior to the First Lady, the Gemara quotes this from Rav to Rabbi Chia. Now, it's interesting. I'm going to quote the Rashbam. I mean, this is an interesting Rashbam. But basically, you know, this is going back now, you know, Rav is a first generation Amora. This is going back 1800 years. But basically, don't do drugs. The Rashbam writes, okay, the Rashbam's not 1800 years ago. I'll put him at, you know, 800 years ago, but same basic idea. 900 years ago. Anyway, same basic idea. The Rashbam writes, I'm sorry, let me first find the Rashbam. Yeah. Lotishte Sama. So, Al Tishte Samim. Don't do drugs. Mimnesha Nikva Lahem Veses. Now, the Rashbam describes them as making some sort of perforation in the esophagus. I'm not sure what he means by that. However, he understands the effects of the drugs. Vehe Libcha Shawalcha. And what's going to happen is that you're going to want more. Vitafs and Maus. And because of your addiction to it, you're going to be spending a lot of money. Viafilu refuah. And even if it's not just recreational drugs, even if it's medicinal drugs, the Rashbam says, if you can, avoid it. Lo tishtei im efshar lerefuah acheres. If there's some other therapy, so then you should avoid the drugs. Okay. Volo tishaver nigra. Lo tishaver nigra, the Rashbam explains. Don't step over a river or a lake. Why not? What's wrong with that? So one explanation, says the Rashbam, is because we're going to be required to take long steps. What the Gemara refers to as psia gasa, and the Gemara says that's a number of occasions says that's bad. Taking long steps. Taking long steps is a form of arrogance, and it's not good. Now some say, right, the Rashbam gives another explanation, amas mayim v'regilim b'nei adam l'kfos me'ever zeh le'ever zeh u'lekatzer darkam. Taking a shortcut by stepping over a river. Now the Gemara says don't do it. Maybe it's because it's dangerous. Unclear. Unclear what the problem would be if that's the pshat. Back to the Gemara. V'lo te'akir kacha. Don't have a tooth extracted. Right? Back in the good old days, they would be under the assumption that the extraction of the tooth would help you, cure you from your ailment. Whatever the ailment would be. We'll just take out a tooth. So the Gemara says that's really bad advice. Meaning you'll get over your sickness, and you won't get your tooth back. So keep the teeth in your mouth. Don't start up with a snake and don't start up with an arma'a. Okay, not just a generic non-Jew, but it's a specific type of non-Jew which you start up with them and it's only going to be trouble for you. The snake, hopefully, should be obvious why you shouldn't start up with a snake. Three people you shouldn't provoke. And they are Nachri Katan, Nachash Katan, Tamid Katan. A young Nachri, a young snake, and a young student. Maitaima, Demachuseo Achure Unaihu. Right, because their kingdom is behind their ear. It's an expression my father often says, it's wet behind the ears. I still don't know what that means, but I know what it means. It means that he's young and he doesn't know any better. But the Gemara basically says it. Machuseo Achure Unaihu, Kai. It means that right now they're really young and they can't do anything to you, but wait till they grow up, and then they're gonna get to you. Amalei Rav La'aybu Berei. More advice given from Rav. This is to his other son, Aibu. Right, so Rav has two sons right now, as we see from the Gemara. He has Chia, and he has Aibu. Tarchi Bach Bishmaita V'lo Mistaya Milsa. Look, he says to Aibu. It is what it is. I was going to say it's sad, but it just is. So he says, look, I tried teaching you Torah, v'lo mistayim milsa, and it wasn't successful. Meaning, I tried, but it didn't work out. Ta'ag merachmili da'alma. So I'll teach you business, and you'll go out and you'll do business. Okay. Adechala akarech zvinach zavin. So number one. So this is now Rav's advice to his son in terms of how to negotiate in business. While the sand is still on your feet, sell your merchandise. Don't hold your merchandise. He says it's a big mistake. But in other words, the moment you come back from walking with the expression stand on your feet means, like, don't wait till the sand to come off your feet. Meaning, sell it right away. Look, you want to sell something, sell it as quickly as you can. And later, you want to have seller's remorse, that's fine. The price goes up, you could have made more money, fine. You want to have regrets, I'll let you regret it later. That's fine. Bar mechamer dezavim v'lo techaret. But I promise you this, though. If you happen to be buying and selling wine, you'll never regret selling it early. Because wine sours, and it's a perishable, and there's never going to be a point in holding wine. So there, I promise you, you won't have any regrets. Huh? Their wine did not last. I know ours does. I don't know how that happened. Shari kisech pasach sakech. First take the money, then give product. Right? Don't sell on credit. Kaba me'ar velokur me'igra. A kav is better from local land rather than a kur from that costs a lot of money. Meaning, if business can be done locally, do it locally, even if it means less profit, rather than having to go to some faraway region in order to try to gain your merchandise. Tamar bechaluzech lebeis suna rahit. If you have dates in your basket, so run to the brewmaster. Remember, in the good old days, beer was made from dates, not from barley, although we did see earlier in the Masechta, they did make some beer from barley, but all their beer was made from dates. And the Gemara says, once you have some dates, go right to the brewmaster. Don't wait. Don't wait till you have more dates. So the Adkam, the Gemara says, okay, but just tell me, how much are we talking about? Amarava talsa sa'a. Three sa'a is an eifa. If I'm correct, I think I am. 432 eggs. It's about somewhere in the ballpark of about 10 gallons. Okay, which I know is a lot, but okay. But I guess if you're brewing beer, it's not a lot. The Gemara says it doesn't matter. Once you have some dates, run to the brewmaster, and don't wait till your big date fall. Amar Rav Papa ilo de Rav Meishichra lo iasre. Here's the Gemara with Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, I'm a brewmaster, and it's because of that I'm wealthy. And as Tosus points out, it's also because he married somebody wealthy as well. But Tosus points out, they're both true. Both points are true. The he is because he knew how to brew beer, and he was excellent at it, and he had a tradition how to do it. So therefore, he became wealthy. The Gemara says not only was it Rav Papa, but according to another version, was Rav Chista as well. Rav Chista attributes his wealth to the fact that he was an excellent brewmaster. My sudna, the term used for a brewmaster in the Gemara is sudna. So the Gemara explains that, how come that word, I'm Rav Chista, sod na'e ugemilus chasadim. Because it's sod na'e, it's a great secret. It's a great secret because, as Rashbam points out, it's not a huge investment, it's a great return, it's a fantastic business, and you can do a lot of chesed with all the money that you make. You can give tzedakah, etc., etc. So that's why the brewmasters are referred to as sudna. Rav Papa, I'm a Rav Papa called Agav Gevia. Anytime you write a document, meaning you sell on credit, you lend money, anytime you write a document, you know what that means? It means you're going to have to collect. So basically what Rav Papa says is collections is a pain. Don't try to avoid it. So kol agav gviya bai kol ashrei safek asai safek lo asai. First of all, you don't even know if you're going to be able to collect the money. Right, he may default on the obligation. And let's say you even get paid. Remember back then, payment came in the form of currency. Currency was coins, was minted coins. Currency wasn't always current. Back in the good old days, currency sometimes went out of currency. And so if and when you do get paid, you don't know if the money's going to be current. So best thing to do is not to be in a position where people owe you. Gimel Dvarim Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Anshe Yerushalayim. Three things that were told by Rav Yochanan in the name of the Anshe Yerushalayim. Kishata Yotze LaMelchama Al Teitze Berishona Ela Teitze BeAchrona. I feel like I could be giving this advice, but there must be more to it than just what it says on the Gemara, and that is don't go on the front line. In other words, when you go out to battle, avoid the front, but rather try your best to go in the back. Okay. Sound. Because in the event that you need to retreat, so you'll be right there, ready to retreat. Doesn't sound like a winning formula for war, but the Gemara is talking to the individual, not to the general. Al teitze bereishona, al teitze, I'm sorry. Yeah, al teitze bereishona, al teitze b'achrona. No, what happened? I just read that? Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. Number two. Asay Shabbat Chol Al Tiftarach Lebrios. Now it's interesting because Rabbi Kiva already said this, and Rabbi Yochanan obviously comes later, so it sounds like this is like a new teaching, but this of course goes back to Rabbi Kiva. All right, however you want to understand why it comes up again by Rabbi Yochanan, but make your Shabbos like a weekday. Meaning, if you can't afford a more luxurious Shabbos, don't afford it. Live within your means. And another point that we already reiterated on yesterday's daf, and that is, be with successful people, partner with successful people. And the Gemara in yesterday's daf said, even buying and selling from somebody successful, the success will rub off on you. These things that were said by Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, an Amora in Eretz Yisrael. Al tarbe biganos mishum maisa shahaya. Don't do things in public, right? Out in the field, right? Or another gear says bavanot. But point being, the Rashbam says, don't do your private activities out in a public area. Now, the Gemara, of course, does not mean out in the market, but even in your backyard, don't do it out there as well. Because of Maisa Shahaya, the Rashbam says, the Gemara is alluding to the story of Dov and Batsheva. Batsheva bathed. Now, she wasn't in a public area. She was on a rooftop. But still, a rooftop is a visible area. It's a viewable area. And so, therefore, it led to the whole Dov and Batsheva debacle. So, the Gemara says, avoid it. Learn the lesson. Bitcha bagra shachra avdecha v'tenla. Your daughter's getting older and she's not married. Find somebody for her. The Gemara says, even if it means that you have to be Meshachar, you're Evan. You're freeing your slave, which, as we know, means that now he's going to become a full-fledged Jew, and marry your daughter off to him. But marriage is that important. V'avizar b'ishtecha mechasna harishon. Also, be cautious regarding your wife and your first son-in-law. Okay? Right. Your wife and your first son-in-law. Maitamar Rav Chista amar mishum erva, Rav Kahana amar mishum mamon. The Gemara gives two suggestions. Number one, an erva, immoral behavior between your wife and your first son-in-law. Remember, back in the time of the Gemara, the age discrepancy is not that great. So, and number two, she's going to spend a lot of money on him. Meaning, she just will. It's her first son-in-law, so it's an immoral issue and it's a financial issue. And ha-vaha isnu. And the Gemara says that these two reasons are not mutually exclusive. They're both true. I'm Rav Yochanan Shlosha Minochle HaOlam Haba. Rav Yochanan says three people are going to inherit Olam Haba, Elohein, Hadar Be'Eretz Yisrael, living in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Hamigad Abanav Latam Torah, teaching your son's Torah. V'hamavda Alayim B'motzei Shabbosos. They're making Avdala. Now, making Avdala, why is that extra special? That's what we're supposed to do. So, Mahi D'Mesharim Mikidusha La'Avdalta. The Gemara goes on to explain. You have a limited amount of wine. In fact, you know you basically have two cups of wine. So you make Kiddush on Friday night, and now you say to yourself, you know, there's a mitzvah to enjoy Shabbos. How about if I just drink that second cup of wine? So the Gemara says, if you have enough self-control where you're able to take that second cup of wine and push it off to Motzei Shabbos, Gemara says, it's good for you. You're a ben olam haba. I'm Rav Yochanan Shosha Machris Alem HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chol Yom. Three people HaKadosh Baruch Hu announce. This is a positive announcement, meaning this makes it into the weekly. Number one, I don't know if we're gonna. Aravik Hadar Bekrach Veinu Chote. A young single man living in a city, in a very populated city, and he doesn't sin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says good, meaning not good that he's single, that's not good, but good that he is able to fight his temptation, resist his temptation. Poor person finds a lost item. The halach is you have to return it to the owner, and he does. And for him, he's poor. It's a big temptation for him to keep it. Gemara says he fights and resists that temptation. And finally, number three, al asher amaser peirosav bitzina. Somebody who's wealthy takes off trumas and maisros, which is of course what he's supposed to do, but does so privately. Doesn't announce to the world, hey, this is how much I took off as trumas and maisros. So the Gemara says all three people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to announce them. Meaning it's like a pat on the back. Rav Safra, Ravik Hadar B'Krachava. Now Rav Safra was a single man living in the city, top of Kufya Gimel and Beis. Tani Tana Kamei D'Rava V'Rav Safra Tzavu Panav. Now when this b'risa was told over to Rav and Rav Safra, so Rav Safra's face went golden. Because he was that person who was a single person, lived in the city, resisted temptation. So he was proud of himself. Salvo panav de Rav Safra. Amalo Rava. So Rava says, take it easy. Don't get too excited. Right? Don't take too much credit. Lav kagon mar. The Braisa wasn't talking about you. You need a good friend like that who puts you in your place. So lav kagon mar, not you. Ela kagon Rav Chanina of Rav Oshia. I'll give you an example of people who resisted temptation. Rav Chanina of Rav Oshia davu ushpechai ba'ar d'Yisrael. They were living in Eretz Yisrael. And v'havu yasre b'shuka d'zonos. And you know where they worked? They worked in the market of harlots. Now, why do they work there? Why not somewhere else? Okay, whatever. The Gemara doesn't give us any more detail, so I don't. Whatever the circumstances were, they had to work there. Okay. Va'avdilu misani lezonos, and you know what their job was? They made shoes, shoemakers. Va'ilulu inu mistakla behu ve'inu lo madlan aynayu leistakule behu. The zonos, when they would come in, they would look at these young men, but they wouldn't look up at the zonos. They would keep their eyes down. And whenever the Zonos needed to make any type of oath, they needed to make a shvua, and they needed to point to something holy, so the Zonos recognized the holiness of these two men, and they said, like the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael that we met, understanding that these men were particularly holy. Three people, the Gemara doesn't give us attribution for this, so we'll just read. Three people, Kadosh Baruch Hu loves them. Somebody who doesn't lose his temper, somebody who doesn't get drunk, and somebody who is an eno ma, an eno mamid amidosav. In other words, there's right and there's wrong, and you know, you owe me this, or right, I didn't deserve that, and he's mavir amidosav. It's okay. He lets things go. Shosha Kadosh Baruch Hu sonan. Three people Kadosh Baruch Hu hates. Hamadaber echa bepe ve'echa belev. Somebody who's duplicitous. Thinks one thing but says another. Hayodea eitus bechaver ve'ino me'ilo. He has testimony, but he doesn't want to say the testimony. Not because he doesn't want to say Lashon Hara, but simply because, why bother? I need to testify? It's only going to bring about trouble. Ve'haroa dava erva bechaveru umeid bo yechidi. And contrasting, number three, is that you see immoral behavior in your friend, and you testify against it, but you testify as a single individual. Right, I was just having this discussion last night. You're either one of two things whenever you testify. You're either a witness, or you're a yenta. Right? Those are really your two options. So you got to be careful. In other words, if you are a witness, meaning you're part of actual testimony, so good. So not only do you have to talk, it's a mitzvah to do so. On the other hand, if you're just one individual and what you say has no legal ramifications, so you're officially now a yenta. And officially, right? Say, you know, it's a legal term. So the Gemara says in the Kadosh Baruch Hu is, I'm just quoting the Gemara, I know it's strong, Kadosh Baruch Hu son o. He had the tovi chate v'asa zigud lechudei v'asid bay. Gemara tells a story which results in a line that I would say is very popular. And that is Tuvia sins, meaning Tuvia did something immoral. And Zigud goes by himself and he tells people. And he tells Rav Papa. You know, he says to Rav Papa, you know what Tuvia did? So Nagde le Zigud. So what does Rav Papa do? He gives Malkus to Zigud. Amrei Tuvia chatav Zivud Mingid. This makes no sense. I'm not the one who sinned. Tuvia was the one who sinned. I just reported. And the Gemara, Amar Lei, he says to him, "In, yeah, no, this is correct. No, you're the one who needs Malkus." So he says, because you're a single individual testifying about another person. So that's not testimony. That's let me use a better word than just being a yenta. That's Lashon Hara. You are maligning another Jew. That's no good. I'm Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak. I'm a Rav Mutalisan Oso. Although the Gemara says, although you're not allowed to tell others about immoral activity that you see by yourself, you saw by yourself. There's not going to have any legal ramification if you tell other people. You shouldn't tell other people. However, it doesn't mean you have to like it. Meaning, if you see somebody involved in immoral behavior, so you don't tell people about it, but you don't have to like it. And the Gemara says, you could be sown, oh, you can even hate him. Shenemer kiterech hamor son achar oveit tachas masa'o. You see an enemy. But the Gemara doesn't say, I'm sorry, this is the Torah. The Torah doesn't say you see an enemy, it says son acha. You see your enemy. Now, who could possibly be your enemy? My sone ilem sone nachri huvata yosone shamru sone Yisrael. Velo sone nachri. So first of all, we have a braisa tradition that we're talking about another Jew. And number, and elapshita sone Yisrael. Omishar yilamaste. Now the Gemara says, now who are you hating? Meaning, you're not allowed to hate any Jew. V'aksiv lo sisna sachicha bavavecha. That's simple. So, who could the Torah possibly be addressing when it says, oh, there's your enemy? What do you mean? Who are you hating? So the Gemara says, okay, well, maybe he's hated because he's a Baal Avera. He's engaged in Avera, and it's testified about him that he's involved in Avera. And that's why you hate him. And the Gemara assumes that that person you are allowed to hate. So, Kuli Amanami Mithne Sani Lay. Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem with that. Now, he's not son acha, he's not your enemy, he's everyone's enemy, he's public enemy. If he was not only a sinner, but people have testified about him. So maishna hai. So why does the Torah say son acha? So elalavki agavna dechazibe ihu davar erva. So it must be that it goes back to what we suggested at the very beginning. You saw him do something wrong, and you can't testify about it because that's not testimony, that's lashon hara. So at one hand, you can't tell people. On the other hand, you can hate them. And by the way, mind you, with all that stated, I go back to that pasuk in Mishpatim, ki terech hamor sonecha roveitz tachas maso. How does that pasuk end? Meaning you see somebody being burdened down, and he's not just somebody, he's your enemy. And now we explain why he's your enemy. Because he was involved in immoral activity. So how does the pasuk end? It's a part of the Torah says, help him. Yes, meaning that's not a question. That, in other words, in addition to that, give him tochacha. But
then go ahead and hate him afterwards.
Yes. Yes and yes. The Rambam writes, it's just an interesting Rambam, it's not on the daf, off the daf. The Rambam writes, so sisna sachicha bavavecha, if you look in that pasuk also has the same, the mitzvah of hochech tachicha tamitecha. It comes from that very pasuk. Right. And the Rambam says, do you know how you want to avoid hating people? By giving them tochacha. If you give somebody tochacha, you will avoid hating.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay, so...
It's a mitzvah to give
tochacha, but at the same time, the Torah is describing he's your sone, he's your enemy. So the Gemara, the only conclusion the Gemara can arrive at is you must have seen him do immoral behavior. Okay. Right. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar mitzvah l'san oso, and we'll finish up with this. And Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, not only can you hate him. You should. Mitzvah is done or so. Shenemer Yiras Hashem Ra. Those who fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sorry. He quotes the Pasuk.
No. Sonera.
Right. Sonera. Right. I'm sorry. Sinas Ra. So those. Thank you. I see. Those who fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hate Ra. Right. We'll really have a. A natural avoidance of those things which are bad, including this individual. Okay, we'll stop over here. Okay, more advice. Daf Kufi Gimel, right? More advice given, life lessons, advice given by the Amoraim to their students and their sons. And we learned today life lessons in terms of Torah and how to conduct yourself. And even today, we learned life lessons in terms of business as well. Okay, everyone have a great Shabbos. Wonderful day.